You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back. Happy Thursday, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. According to my handy-dandy pocket calendar, it's time to get an update on the Bell City, that's also known as Racine, with Mayor Corey Mason. He stops by the Don Rosen Show once a month to give us all an update on what's happening in the city, including business openings and back-to-school information, because it's September, that means the kids are heading back to class. So he has some news for us, and he talked to Don this past week about all the great things happening in Racine.
You went to a couple of ribbon cutting ceremonies.
Yeah, it's
how'd you do that with one hand?
I did not do the scissors. The superintendent did, thankfully.
Let's talk about those.
Yeah, so it was great. There were three of them yesterday, and this is sort of part of, people might remember that 2020 referendum for the school district that passed by a landslide of five votes. Right, every vote matters. Tens of thousands of votes cast, and it passed by five. So thank you to the voters that made that happen. But that has allowed us to build, you know, there's a new Red Apple School being built where Walden once was, at 10th and Center. But yesterday we cut the ribbon on renovations that were made to Horlick High School. You know, it's a 1928 building that hadn't been updated ever until we did that. So they were able to put in new facilities and new equipment. And SC Johnson School looks, you know, completely different on the inside. And they added a gym and added some space there and able to put in some extra art space and learning space for the kids. That was just great. And then Mitchell Middle School had a real facelift done, an expanded gym, and again, new classroom space. And, you know, those buildings were built in the 1930s. So some of these buildings really haven't had updates in almost a century. And just to see how excited the faculty are, the staff are, but as importantly, the students and their parents about, you know, what it is to be able to go into a building where they've got new facilities and, you know, new computer equipment and, you know, new STEM room and other places for kids to learn. Really, really exciting stuff. And it ensures that those buildings will last for another, you know, 50 years so that we can keep educating kids there. So it was a really rewarding thing to see our schools being updated that way, and really grateful to have been part of helping to pass that referendum.
Now, you said where the Walden School was is not there anymore, huh?
No. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a completely new building that is up there.
Whoa, where was I? Was I in a coma when this happened?
Yeah, so that building was one of the oldest buildings in the city. It was built before the Civil War.
Whoa.
In 1854. Somebody pondered that it might be the oldest flush toilet in the city. We were never able to confirm that. But I mean, it had been there for a long time. And the newer part was built in the 19-teens. But it had outlived its usefulness as a building. It just became so in disrepair. So if you go by 10th and Center now, you will see a building. They're doing the interior now, but the exterior of it is done. And so if you drive by there, you'll see a brand new building that's gone up.
Now, is the Jane School still in operation?
It is not. So there's a few.
I live a block away. Yep. And I was wondering, because I saw all these construction trucks there. No kids.
Yeah. So Jane School, the old Red Apple, and Winslow School, sort of over by 14th Street there, those are all properties that'll be ceded over to the city for redevelopment. So by the end of this year, we'll begin to look at if those could be transitioned into housing or some other useful purpose. They're beautiful old buildings, right? I mean, just the architecture.
And they just renovated the Jane School not too long ago. They put a new thing, that little cone thing they have on top of the steeple, it is.
So they keep the buildings in good repair. So, you know, I mean, sometimes you get these old buildings that are just in such disrepair where it's just like, oh, there's no, like it's got a beautiful facade, but it's so far gone. You just can't imagine doing anything next with it. With the school district, you know, because we've had school children in there all these years, the buildings are, you know, the roofs are tight, the windows are tight. It's in a good state of repair. So we're looking forward to opportunities to transition that into possible housing moving forward.
I feel bad. I live only a block or so from the Jane School, and I love looking at it when I go home and, you know, wake up in the morning and
I can't imagine.
It's a beautiful building.
The facade of it is amazing.
Yeah. Inside, no good?
Well, it's harder to make, I mean, they're, The inside of it's choppier than you might think.
Did the kids have to shovel coal in the winter to get Was that it?
I think there might have been a time when that might have been actually the case. And the older part there was also built before the Civil War, right? So it's a really old building. But, you know, they don't make walls that thick anymore. They don't put that kind of design feature into it. It is, I mean, if you're heading south on Main Street from downtown, it is the facade of that building. And that turret that you see there.
What do you call a turret? Yeah.
Yeah. That is, it's a real part of the view shed from the downtown. Hate to lose that, right? I mean, it's a really great piece. Now, the addition that they put on in the 70s, less attached to that, it's kind of a shoebox that they added on there. But the historic part of it is just really a beautiful piece.
Oh, you know, my wife said to me, she says, I don't think that school's open anymore.
Yeah.
Because they have all these trucks and trailers on the property. And no kids. Right. And I used to see the kids playing there all the time. Yeah. And they're not there. Oh, that's kind of sad.
Well, you may have seen. So Gerstead added an elementary school. So they're now a K-8. And so you got kids going over there now. Geezy came down as well. So that's another school.
Really?
Yeah. So if you drive by there, it's an empty field. So if you
knock down the YMCA, you're knocking down the schools. You knocked down the YMCA.
I did knock down the YMCA personally. I got to take the first swing. But Roosevelt School will also come down pretty soon. So it's just a different. Oh, they're going to more of a K-8 model in some of these places. Red Apple will become a K-8. So that's
so no more middle school.
Now, there's some standalone middle schools that are still there, and Walden is still a 6 through 12, so there's a little bit of a blended there. But I'm trying to think, is there any standalone just middle schools left? You may be right. There may not be anymore. You'd have to ask the school district that for certainty.
That entire interview is available by going to civicmedia.us/shows. Look for the Don Rosen Show and find the episode entitled Cutting Ribbons with Mayor Mason. You can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Stick around because after the news at 7:35, Pat welcomes the national president of Democratic Municipal Officials to talk about what you need to know about running for local office. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's Local Report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 6:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. As we see the President of the United States of America send federal troops into Washington, D.C., Los Angeles, possibly Chicago, the question now remains, will he send them to Milwaukee? When will he send them to Milwaukee? And as citizens, what rights do we have during what seems to be an illegal occupation? Our very own Earl Ingram has a brand new podcast called What's Going On, where he poses such questions, talks to community leaders around the area, and today I'm playing for you a selection of an interview he did with Robert Miranda. He's an organizer for Freshwater for Life Action Coalition, and he's also a campaigner for a lead-free Milwaukee. We've already heard a little bit of Robert's story earlier in the week, and today we're going to listen to them discuss how living in Milwaukee is nothing like they describe it on the news, and why sending the National Guard here is not about security and more about instilling fear in his...
I saw, as a young boy in 1968, I was 14 years old, and in the city of Milwaukee, after the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King, I remember the tanks and the National Guard in my community, in my neighborhood, as they were all over this nation, because cities burned after the assassination of Martin Luther King. There were, I don't know, 300 or so cities that were set ablaze. So understandable why the National Guard was brought in, but I do remember distinctly the National Guard being, and that was the time, again, when over 300 some odd cities burned.
Right.
The National Guard being in cities right now in these areas, I don't know if cities being burned, right? and yes, are there, you know, are there problems? Is there unrest taking place in these communities? Is are things unsafe in some areas? Yes, I live in Milwaukee. I'm not terrified. I've lived there for over 71 years. I'm not so terrified that I'm going to leave the city that I was born in, the city that I love, because somebody says it's too dangerous for me. I'd also say, Robert, before I give you a chance to respond, for those people and Donald Trump and others who celebrate and say this is the answer, if you begin to think just a little bit, Robert, about the cost of having the National Guard in your city, and how long are they going to remain in cities, Robert? If you say, because we've got the National Guard, crime is going to go down, which is what is being said right now, what are they thinking that, okay, we're going to stay here forever, or we're going to leave in 2 months because of the sheer $1 million, you know, cost a day of having the National Guard in these different cities, that once they leave, things aren't going to revert back to the world. There's no long-term thinking this through, Robert.
No, it's all theatrics. It's all, our military right now is being used as pawns to shore up the hatred that he wants to fester. He wants to defester that division. He wants to continue to promote the idea that the only way to deal with these people, and that meaning people of color in this country, is by force. That's the only way to deal with them. This is the way they've dealt with us in the past, enforcing Jim Crow laws, enforcing the kind of sundown laws that used to be enforced, you know, using the police to harass and intimidate. Now, taking that same playbook and applying it in today's world, using the military to come after these communities. But notice he's only doing it in communities that are blue state communities, right, or Democrat community. He's not going after red states or red states.
Where there's equal amount of crime.
Exactly. Because he doesn't want to show the contradiction of what is going on. He doesn't want to embarrass Speaker Johnson and Shreveport, Louisiana.
In New Orleans, where if you want to talk about, you know,
you want to talk about crime, yeah, being out of control, look at his district.
Right.
You know, he doesn't want to establish that contradiction. What he wants to do is just focus on one thing so that base of hate that he empowers, that he promotes, that he elevates, can see that this is the only way to do this. So as his grand plan to eventually destroy democracy in this country, to take over the government and to become the dictator that he wants to be, gives him the luxury of being able to then use the military in all parts of the country and employ them wherever there is dissension against him, not against crime, but dissension eventually against him.
If you would like to listen to that entire interview, go to civicmedia.us/shows. Search for What's Going On, that's Earl's new podcast, and find the episode called Talking with Robert Miranda. There you can download it directly to your device and listen to it anytime, anywhere. Again, that's civicmedia.us/shows. As a small aside, if you've been watching the news for the past 12 hours, you know exactly what happened in Utah yesterday. There's a lot of conversations, a lot of questions, and we hope you're finding an outlet for all of those thoughts that you're having. For myself, in the next hour, you'll be hearing a conversation I had with Dr. Kristen Lyerly about the topic, about the shooting in Utah, and even though it's a very, very belabored point, the importance of coming together as we achieve more together. That'll be at 8:22, so stick around. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. Be well. It's 7:29. Listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach. I'm back, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin this morning. That music can only mean one thing, and that's Civic Media's meteorologist, Brittany Merlot. Award-winning meteorologist, Brittany Merlot, I should say. I want to pay proper respect. She stops by every week to give us the weather and the wine and tell us about what's happening this weekend, coming up with the weather, how we get ourselves prepared, and why summer doesn't seem to be done yet. And right now, I'll tell you what's going on. It's time for some weather and wine with Brittany Merlot, Civic Media's award-winning meteorologist, writer, friend. Brittany, how are you today?
Oh, thank you. I'm great now with that intro. Jeez. Thanks, Greg.
I'm just going to follow you around and say, great, like award-winning. And you'll be at the market and be like, I'm just trying to buy bread.
Be like, shh, call them everything. Oh, it is nice, though. It is nice. How you got the sun out by you right now? Are you the only one hanging on to a little bit of sunshine?
I think so. Yeah, we've been pretty immune to all of the craziness weather-wise down here in southeastern Wisconsin. It's been coolish. We've been in the 70s. It's that 70s cool. It's not hot 70s. It's coolish 70s, right, where you know it. You don't turn the air on, but you also don't hesitate to turn the heat on because at night it will change. And that's what I've been seeing down here because I am a not trained meteorologist. I'm a guy who sticks his thumb up in there and goes, the wind's blowing that way. But we've been getting 70s days and then, you know, lower 60s nights or early 50s, upper 50s nights as well. So
yeah.
What are you seeing around the state? What are you seeing around southeastern Wisconsin? What's the forecast going to be looking like over the next few days into next week?
Absolutely. So you've got a little bit of a front moving through. So a few spotty showers as those winds switch to off the lake could happen. So you're going to get a little bit of a lake breeze today. And of course, temperatures probably in the mid 70s for you. So overnight fog moving in. It was thick up north. You could barely see this morning. And we are looking at more and more sun as we go through this week. So the crummy, dreary type of weather that we're dealing with now is going to be gone. And we're going to start to warm up. So if you remember last week, this time, we were talking about record cold high temperatures hitting. So just a couple of days ago, and now we're looking at summer weather starting to sneak right back in. I told y'all to hang on. It would be here, and it is. So
I told friends and family, I said, hey, first I said, fall is here, summer's gone. And then we got warmer weather and they looked at me and said, I apparently wasn't listening to Brittany. And then I said, well, it's going to be warm. It's going to be nice. And then it was upper 50s at night. And they looked at me again. I said, I don't know. I don't win awards. Brittany does. You want the weather? Talk to her. But yeah, it's a very interesting, you know, in certain times, especially in the late summer, in that July, August, it can be very unpredictable, but also very uncomfortable. I feel like where we're at right now with the weather, I can personally operate well because I can take 55 to 72 and not have to worry about opening every window so I can sleep at night.
Right, right. Well, AC units might start to crank up again as we go into this weekend.
Yeah.
We are going to get warmer. Mm-hmm. We are going to see more humidity start to sneak in too. So muggy as soon as Friday. That holds through the whole weekend and even into next week. So we're looking at climbing to the upper 70s, near 80 degrees by Friday for a majority of the state. Low 80s on Saturday. However, there is rain rolling in. So in the morning, you could see some rain early Saturday morning. It'll clear out and be a nice day in the afternoon. Sunday, we're going to the mid-80s across the state. So it's going to get warm, and we're going to hang on to those low 80s too as we go into next week. Now, I was looking ahead because our fall colors are already starting to change up here in Wausau area, far up north. We're starting to see them, certain trees, and we are looking cooler next weekend. So I think with the sun this week, the cooler temperatures behind it, those colors are going to be popping right around the corner. We're also looking at some more warmth still later on, too. So while we may cool down into next weekend, I still see 80s for the end of the month. A roller coaster.
I'm about to ask a dumb question, and you can feel free to answer this as soon as possible, the quickest way possible, and make fun of me while doing it. Once that's all done, though, that mid-80s Sunday, do you see any other heat ear waves, more summer temperatures happening? Or do you think then, all right, we're moving into October. It's keep them sweaters out.
Right. So what I'm thinking and seeing right now is this is going to be our last extended 80s, right? We're going to feel them from Friday all the way through almost Wednesday or Thursday next week. So a whole week of 80s sticking with us, that's not going to happen again, I don't believe. What I see at the end of the month is a day or two spiking to about upper 70s, low 80s. Here and there kind of thing as the temperatures slowly trend cooler. Because by the time we end September, our average highs across the state should only be in the upper 60s. So 80s is woo!
Quoted here today on Matt and Aaron Air, Brittany Merlot with the unfall-like heat. Woo! All right. Woo! Get your Ric Flair out because we're going woo today. Brittany Merlot, as always, thank you so much for being here. We appreciate your time, your expertise, and all the great things you do for all of us here at Civic Media.
Thanks, Greg.
That was just a piece of what we talked about with Brittany Merlot. And don't worry, I'm going to be playing the rest of that interview for you because she talks about a new tool from NOAA and the National Weather Service on flood inundation and how to keep alert on that. So keep it locked here on these local reports. And earlier I mentioned Brittany Merlot is an award-winning meteorologist and writer. If you want to see the things she's working on, the stories she has put out there in the world, go to civicmedia.us/news. There you can catch up on everything she's working on, including weather reports, tips on what to do in the case of inclement weather, and she does a great job at breaking down how climate change directly affects all of the new weather patterns here in Wisconsin, so we are prepared for it. Again, go to civicmedia.us/news. Stick around, because after the top of the hour news, Mornings with Pat Kreitlow welcomes Chad Holmes to give his update from Wausau, and at 8:35, Pat talks to political consultant Joe Zepecki. Stay tuned. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. To stay up to date with everything going on in southeastern Wisconsin, go to WAUKradio.com and sign up for our newsletter. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. I'll talk to you in 20 minutes. It's 7:59.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WAUK. My name is Greg Bach, and here's what's going on in southeastern Wisconsin. As I mentioned earlier, if you've been keeping up with the news for the past 12 plus hours, you know exactly that in Utah yesterday, the right-wing commentator and founder of Turning Points USA, Charlie Kirk, was shot and killed. And before we say anything else, and I'll repeat it in a little bit, but Civic Media absolutely and unequivocally stands against political violence. It solves absolutely nothing and only serves to push us even further apart. And in times like this, I need to talk to someone, so I chose a friend and a colleague, Dr. Kristen Lyerly, an incandescently brilliant person in my opinion, and someone I always love to turn to when I need words of empathy, words of advice, and just words of pure wisdom. I want to thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for being with me today. I want to be upfront that this is pre-recorded, but I wanted to talk to you, Dr. Lyerly, because you are a doctor. You provide abortion access. You are a candidate for office. And when it comes to
gun violence, we have had many conversations, but political violence. And also, before I say anything else, I want to make it perfectly clear that Civic Media does not stand for or condone this kind of action that happened in Utah, because political violence is never the answer. It is not how we get things done. And never let it ever be thought of any other way here at the network. We do not condone, endorse, or believe in political violence. But Dr. Lyerly, there's a lot going on, and we know that's not the answer. You and I agree, of course, this is not the answer, but that's not always the case. And in situations like this, we need to come together, all people, to say it's about working together and achieving more through conversations than violence.
Yes, I couldn't agree more, especially with your statement and the Civic Media statement that political violence is never the answer. I am so disappointed, doesn't even begin to capture it. I am profoundly upset that we are at this point in our nation's history, that we are using violence that is frankly fueled by rhetoric, divisive rhetoric, to solve these problems. As a former candidate, as an abortion provider, as somebody who really puts themselves out there, and I do, and I'm honest, and I'm blunt, and I've been threatened, and so I know what it's like to be in the public eye. It's scary, but it's also really important for me to be able to communicate. I mean, to be able to express my First Amendment rights. And that's what's happened here. A person who I disagree with fundamentally was expressing his First Amendment right, was speaking out as an American in his perspective in protecting this country, and was gunned down in cold blood. And that is not okay, no matter which side of the political aisle you sit on, or even if you're not in the room, it is not okay.
You've traveled all over the state, all over the country. You've spoken to so many different types of individuals. And I would like to believe that we all can come together on this point, at least, whether you voted for one candidate versus the other. It makes so much more sense that we sit down, have the discussions, and talk about what we really need in this country. And I will not in any way, shape, or form say that what Mr. Kirk said wasn't divisive, or at least as you said, I disagreed with. But when it comes to what we need in this country as Americans, it goes without saying that actions like this solve nothing. But, and it's not the same thing, I understand, also going on social media and fighting with each other and saying horrible things, which is something I am completely guilty of. You can find me being very, very angry, speaking my mind, and it does nothing for me as a person, and it does nothing for them, as that's not how you solve problems. And call it pie in the sky, call it naive, call it whatever you want. I just still believe that when we come together, we talk about what we need, we find out so much more, we realize so much more, and it's far more fruitful in the end. But we do have a problem with gun violence that we have to talk about, and not just politically motivated. As we're discussing this, there was a shooting in Denver with three people now injured in the hospital.
It happens nearly every day. I mean, let's not forget that Melissa Hartman and her husband were gunned down again in cold blood in Minnesota just a few months ago. So it's not the answer, but we've just gotten to this point where rhetoric is so heated and politics drives it. What you talk about, Greg, is right. It's common sense. Why are we not talking about the issues? Why are we not coming together and solving these problems? There are plenty of problems to solve, but politicians have used this kind of rhetoric to divide us and to control us and to prevent us from solving those problems. Maybe we finally hit that point. I sure hope we finally hit that point where we recognize it and we can set all of that divisiveness aside and actually start working on the things that will bring us back together again. That is my sincere hope.
As it is mine too. And I want to thank you, Dr. Lyerly, for joining me in this very abrupt conversation, very quick, we put it together in a moment's notice, and being available to have this conversation. Because I really, when it comes to matters like this, I really look to people like you for your experience, your expertise, your empathy, and being able to communicate across barriers, having those discussions with people who do disagree with you, but keeping it not just civil, but respectful, because you understand they have a life experience as well. And you use that to fuel your passion to making a difference. So I just want to say thank you for your time today, Doctor.
Greg, thank you, my friend, for your thoughtful, compassionate perspective and your sense of humor. You are a beautiful human being, and I'm so grateful for you.
Thank you, Doctor. We'll talk to you very soon. Again, thank you to Dr. Kristen Lyerly for taking time out of her very busy schedule at a moment's notice to talk to me about this. Honestly, folks, this was a conversation for me, and I wanted to share it with you. But most of all, I just want you to remember the action that took place in Utah and so many more before it solves nothing. Because no matter what, we're all in this together. You're listening to WAUK's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. For WAUK and Civic Media, my name is Greg Bach. Have an amazing Thursday. I'll talk to you tomorrow. It's 8:29.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.